Christ Covenant, and welcome to Vision Sunday. Man, we've got such a great day planned, and I posted this on social media. I don't know if you saw it, but honestly, I think today is the most important Sunday we've had since I've been the senior pastor of the church, and in 2 weeks, that will be 1 year, so coming up on 1 year, yeah, and there we go. So I think this is the most important Sunday we've had. And so here's what I want to tell you. Thank you for being here. That lets me know something that, hey, you're interested in what God's doing here. You want to be a part of it. So glad that you're here this morning. And I think today's going to be so special that we actually provided props for you to use during the service. I know you saw them in the seat next to you. Can somebody wave a pom-pom at me if you got them? Yeah, there we go. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself, this is the weirdest church I've ever been to in my life. But here's what we believe about church. Really, this is one of my beliefs. I have a few of them. But one of them is this. I believe that church should not be endured. It should be enjoyed. I really believe that it's okay for us to have fun. Yeah, we're going to be serious about certain things, but we're also going to celebrate. So today, you're going to have a lot to celebrate. So I want to give you full permission. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to celebrate, to clap today, to cheer, to wave your pom-pom in the air like you just don't care, okay? And I want you to participate with me because we have a lot to celebrate and then we've got some exciting days ahead. It's going to be a really good one. And so here's the flow because it's the first Vision Sunday that we've done, at least since I've been at the church. So here's the flow for today. The first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to share some incredible testimonies of what God has done these last 11 months. And so if something's good, if something really moves your heart in a certain way, then you can celebrate that with me and cheer. And then also after that, I'm going to share about some vision, where we're going in the next few months. And then I'm going to finish up with a mini message. Won't be as long as normal because I got a lot to cover. But really, I'm just going to share my heart at the end. And I'm going to be really transparent and open and honest with what God's been doing in us this last year. And it's going to be a really, really great day. But the theme verse for today is this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. You can turn there if you like, but we've got a slide for it if you're live in the room and not listening online. This is not the verse I'm going to preach from, but it really sets the tone for us. It says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I hope you've seen this, but over the last 11 plus months, God has done something supernatural in our midst. In fact, God's done some miracles that hopefully you've seen, but he's also done some miracles that you probably haven't seen. And I want to highlight some, not all, of what God's done these last several months. I think about our attendance here at the church. One of the easiest ways to see kind of what God is doing. And I got to tell you, and I'm excited about this, maybe you will be too, but in the last 11 plus months, we have literally grown by 100%. We have more than doubled in our attendance. Come on, somebody. But we have. And by the way, don't hit somebody beside you with your pom-pom, okay? This is a safe place. Some of the wives and the husbands are like, this is my chance. No, don't do that. But it's incredible. In fact, I want to show you how miraculous this is. According to recent research, this isn't a study that was done 20 years ago. Recent research tells us that here in America, anywhere from 65 to 80% of churches have plateaued or they're declining. So what do you think about that? 65 to 80% are staying the same or they're declining. And so I give God glory that that's not happening here, that something else is taking place, that God is bringing people in to join forces with us. I got to tell you, church is a lot more fun when you're here. Because when you're not here, I mean, I'm just hanging out with myself. And so I'm glad that you're a part of this. It's so encouraging to know that God's increasing our reach, but also we've been increasing in strength in our discipleship, and that's important too. God's transforming lives. I think about this, and maybe you've been a part of some of these, but we've had two water baptism celebrations these last 11 months, one during service, one after service. And if I could be honest with you, because I'm going to be real honest today, there's some things I love about being a pastor, and there's other things I do not love about being a pastor, but water baptisms is one of the ones I love. It's like tops for me. Just something special about somebody going public with their private faith in the Lord. It blows my mind seeing people say, you know what, I'm not ashamed of what God has done. It's just an incredible thing. And not just those two groups of people I'm talking about, but we also were able to do the water baptisms here a part of our services. And you may think, why is that special? Well, for the years the church has been around, we did not own a water baptismal tank. So we'd have to go to somebody's pool, and that's fine, or we'd have to go to another church. But we were able to do it a part of our services. We bought our own. Now, I know what you're thinking. Wasn't that a horse trough? Yes, it was a horse trough. But we're in Texas, y'all. Howdy, partner. And we'll do whatever we got to do. Hey, I was baptized in a horse trough, so... And whenever we're done with it and we get a better one, we'll give it to somebody who's got a farm. Praise God, whatever we got to do. But that's exciting. Not just that, in these last 11 plus months, we've had three different growth tracks. And if you don't know what that is, let me tell you in a second. But here's what it simply is, just Cliff Notes version. It's our onboarding process. And so if you're brand new, if you're new to this thing, or maybe you're new again, because we have that happening. People hadn't been in a while, but they're coming back. And so if that's you, this is your chance to hear about the vision. And I'll share some of that today, of course, about where we've been, where we are, where we're going. We talk about membership, all those sorts of things. I call it an hour of power, because we take care of all of that in 1 hour after the service. We had our third one week ago. And I got to tell you, and if you were a part of it, you know this, but every single one of them have been packed, busted at the seams. In fact, we had more people become members last week as well. Just so many people saying, this is my home church. I'm going to dig in deep. I'm going to get planted into God's house. And I'm excited about that. And maybe somebody else is too. It's incredible. This is the place that we're going to plug into. I think about that. I think about here on this platform a couple of times this last year on Mother's Day, and then also one a few months ago that we, or excuse me, a month ago, I think, or a little a month and a half ago, but we had this platform filled with families saying, I'm going to dedicate my children and my babies to the Lord. How cool is that? Now, what's really special, I told you I'll get ready. But what's really special is the last one we just had about a month and a half ago in September, however long ago that was, the whole platform was filled with families dedicating their children, their babies to the Lord, and every single one of those families was brand new to the church. They'd all been here in the last 11 months. Isn't that awesome? I'm not just going to sit in a seat, but I'm going to dedicate my children to the Lord because they're really His and not mine. I'm just a manager over them. It's an exciting moment when parents, when families do that, and that just gets me, gets my blood flowing. And the best part, and if you're only saving like your best for one cheer, this is about to be your moment, okay? But the best part of all this, it just blows my mind. Honestly, it makes me want to weep right now thinking about it. But in these last 11 and a half months, we've seen over 130 decisions for Jesus Christ. Can somebody? Yeah. It's incredible. That's people for the first time giving their life to the Lord, and other people, hey, I've stepped away and I want to do a recommitment, and that's great as well. Over 130. And let me remind you of something that you can't dare forget. Every number has a name. And every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And so when I say over 130, that's not just some stat that we tout. Like, that's 130 souls. See, we believe the Bible. We take it literally around here. And so when the Bible says you're going to one of two places for eternity, we take that seriously. And we want you in heaven just like God wants you in heaven. And that's 130 people over that that have given their life to the Lord. People are plugging in, beginning to serve and volunteer. Here's another thing we believe around here. And if I was taking notes, I would jot this down. This would be a good thing to remember. But we believe that saved people serve people. We believe that. And so if God has saved your soul, then you can't just sit to yourself with that good information. You got to do something about it. You want to tell other people about the antidote that you've received that cured you of that sin disease that we all have. And so we want to tell people about it. We want to get into the game. And I love that we're seeing so many people plug in, and there's more to come. Not just those things, but this last year, we were able to financially partner with missionaries around the globe. And I get excited about that as well. Every single month, I'm signing checks to send out to missionaries here in our city, in our nation, and also throughout the world on other continents, saying, we believe in you. We know you're preaching the gospel, the good news, and we're going to support you. We're going to put our money where our mouth is and let you know that we're in this with you. But it gets even better than that, because we do a fiscal year here at the church, matches a lot of businesses. We're October through September. And so that means this last month, we had a chance to have our first month into our new fiscal year here with our budgets. So what that means is this, that we actually, this new fiscal year, we increased our missions giving. I get excited about that. And specifically, yeah, you can celebrate. Specifically, we took on a new missionary to Israel, y'all. Like, I love that. I think that's the coolest thing ever, to say we're going to go to the Jew first, as God's word tells us. So starting last month, we already started on your behalf, but starting last month, every single month, we've taken on that additional missionary, and we're saying we believe in you. In fact, they've got somebody that's coming into the States here soon that I'm going to have lunch with, me and Dan Lowry, who helps us out with our missions. It's just awesome what God is doing. It's not just international, though. It's also here in our own neighborhood. Because of your generosity, we've been able to get healthier financially as well. We were able to renovate our monument sign. We're able to put a cross on the building that glows at night. We're able to clean the outside brick and stone here on this building. We upgraded our restrooms. We added a cafe. And I love this one. This one gets me excited. We donated this fall, so a few months ago, this church, because of your generosity, we donated 335 backpacks and school supplies to children in our neighborhood. Isn't that cool? I love that. Like in our neighborhood. So this is families that could not afford to give their children, their child, a backpack or school supplies. We said, you know what? That's not good enough for us. We're going to help you out. We're going to stand beside you. We sent volunteers to help out with Operation Backpack. Every single month, we go to one of the local in-town suites to volunteer and have, we have church out there, y'all. It was so great. I was able to be a part of that last month. We've gone outside the four walls of our church and into our city to serve water on our street corner. Like literally taking God's word at his word, saying, even when you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, I'll be in the middle of that. So we've done that twice on our street corner here. And I didn't even tell you about this one. Didn't even make it public whatsoever. But last week, we did a special outreach in our area where we served over 3,000 people, inviting them to church, telling them that God loves them. I'm telling you, God is doing something. Can somebody get excited about what's taking place? See, if you really understand God's word, you realize that the church is not a building, it's people. And so, yeah, we got to do stuff within these four walls, but we got to get outside of these four walls as well. And so there's exciting things that God's allowed us to be a part of. God's also helped us make some wise financial decisions, and to him alone be the glory. But as a result, and I love this, because I do this, my wife and I, we do this with our family, but I want to do this with this church. I'm thankful for our elders as well. But over the last several months, we've literally been able to save thousands of dollars on our bills, renegotiating them. Isn't that exciting to be able to do that? Like, if you don't do that for yourself, you should. That's good wisdom there. But God's called us to be stewards, not just over souls, but also over the finances that come in. And steward is a fancy Christian Bible word for manager. So God's called us to be good managers. So we've literally saved thousands of dollars over this last year, renegotiating things. And a lot of people don't know this, and I want to share this with you, but this is really cool. And this happened before I got here, so I wouldn't dare take credit for it. And in fact, all of this glory goes to God. But I want you to know today that this church, Christ Covenant, we have zero debt. Like, think about that. Not just that. But we don't have a mortgage payment. Don't you want some of that for your own life? I'm like, God, give me that. It's unheard of. Unheard of in church world and in business. Like, it's unheard of. And God has helped us to get to that place. I can tell you right now, most churches, whenever they have a new fiscal year, they'll take 100% of what came in, and that's their new budget. That's just typical. And a lot of businesses operate that way as well. But I know churches do that. Well, we didn't do that. We didn't go 100% into what came in this last year. We've put in a little bit of margin there. We want to be wise. We want to put in some space just to make sure that we're the best managers that we can be. And to God alone be the glory. Because of your generosity, we sent our first mailer to 5,000 homes for our September series, Overwhelmed. And that was really exciting because we met so many people. Like, yeah, I saw that in my mail. In fact, let me tell you something really cool. We had one couple, and we've actually got to know them really well, but it's incredible what God did because they got the mailer twice. The first time they threw it away, the second time they say, you know what, I think God's telling me something. And they came and they're plugging in and God's doing something in their lives. So it's because of your generosity, we're able to do things like that. We also, and I love this, I love all of it, but I love this. We helped fund a Bible project, a project to translate the Bible in a language that it has not been written in yet. So you were a part of that. We gave away $25,000+ for Hurricane Harvey relief. That's money that came within the church and then outside the church as well. Isn't that incredible for us to be able to do that? We launched a brand new nursing mother's room, and I know for families like ours that have brand new babies, and we've got so many of those, and it's just incredible to be able to offer that now for our mothers. God is so good. To him alone be the glory. And so what I just shared with you these last few minutes, it's some highlights of what God's done. And it's important that we create a culture here, and I'm working really hard at this, that we create a culture here where we celebrate God's miracles, that we don't just move right past them and take them for granted, but we say, you know what, God, I see you doing this, and I'm going to give you the glory and the honor that you deserve. Now, here's how it works with Jesus. Everybody is going to eventually stand before him one day and give an account of what they did with what God gave them. And I want to put you in a place as your senior pastor where you would stand before God one day, because we all will, and you would be able to show God, hey, this is what I did with what you gave me. That you'd be a good manager over your finances, your talents, your love, your serving, your gifts, that you would use them for God's glory and not your own. So what's our vision around here at Christ Covenant? I'll tell you, it's real simple, but we believe profound. It's heaven full and hell empty. And it was on the front of your worship guide if you got one when you came in today. And if you didn't get one, I'd find somewhere else to write that down. Heaven full and hell empty. It's God's will for you. He wants you to be in heaven. He wants you to be in heaven, but you've got to choose him. And so the reason why we talk about our vision a lot around here, the reason why I share it a lot and our elders will talk about it, our staff, our people, the reason why we talk about it all the time is because it helps us stay focused on what God has called us to do. In fact, I'm learning a lot of things about vision, why we do what we do. And here's what I'm learning. If I was taking notes, I'd write this down. I'm not to my message yet, but I want you to write down a couple of these things. But here's what I'm learning about vision. Vision gives pain a purpose. Just think about that. Vision gives pain a purpose. It's not easy trying to build God's kingdom. It's not easy trying to live your life, making it personal for him. There's pain involved. If you've never experienced pain, you're just too young. Spoiler alert, it's coming. It's coming. Our life is hard. We live in a fallen world. It's not easy. And so what vision does, heaven full and hell empty, what it does is it gives pain a purpose. It helps us stay focused on why we're struggling. It helps us stay focused on the miracle that God wants to do in us and through us. It's why we do what we do. And when you have a vision, it almost puts up like bumper rails or guardrails to make sure you keep moving in the same direction. I don't know when the last time you've been bowling is, probably not recently, but I know my family and I, we go bowling every once in a while, and we've got a 5-year-old son and 11-month-old baby girl. And so when we take our son bowling, we put up those bumper rails. You've seen those, right? And so those bumper rails, those guardrails, they make it impossible to throw a gutter ball. Now, it just so happens that they stay up when I bowl, but that's here or there, okay? No big deal. Don't judge. Hey, I'm really good at getting close to 90, like really, really good. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Anyways, and so we got those bumper rails, we got those guardrails, and what do? They make it impossible to throw a gutter ball and make sure that your bowling ball hits its target. And that's what vision does. It puts up these guardrails to make sure that we don't get sidetracked, and yeah, it was kind of fun and cute or whatever, but it didn't really help us accomplish our vision. Our vision is heaven full and hell empty. This helps us know what's important and what's not important. And we got to know this. And so I want this written on your hearts. I do. If this is your home church, this is what you're going to be like. If you're in this with us, I want this etched on your hearts. Yeah, it'll be on the walls one day. And yeah, it's already in my office. But I want it written on your hearts. That everything that we do, it's not for our comfort level, but it's to tell one more person about Jesus, to let them know about his love and that he cares for them. And so I want to take the next few moments. I want to walk through our next few months here at this church. Now, normally on a Vision Sunday, I'll talk about the whole year. And this is going to be a tease, but this is just how I have to do it. But right now, past these next few months, I'm not ready to talk about it yet publicly. I haven't talked to my elders about it yet. Like, this is new information to them. I haven't talked to my staff about it. It's a personal thing. Spending time with the Lord, praying, and going to be fasting about it. Like, this is something that I'm really leaning into because I want to hear from God. So this will be a little different than future ones, but I want to take the next little bit and talk about the next few months. And so if you like taking notes in church, you could write down some of these things. But this is where we're headed, all tied around our vision, heaven full and hell empty. Beginning next week, we're going to start a series called Generosity. Generosity. And I think we got it. There we go. A slide for it. Now, I know the English majors in the room, you're like, well, sir, you put a C where there should have been an S. I want you to know that that's on purpose, not a typo. And so the reason why we highlighted city and put a C instead of an S is because this next series that we start next week, it's all about us going into our world, our spheres of influence, and telling people about Jesus and his love. It's about teaching each of us to be generous, not just with money, and that's part of it, but not just with money, but with our time, our talent, with our heart, to be serving others and really change this city for God. And so we're going to step into that. And one of the big kind of movements that will be tied to this series, and I got to tell you, I know I'm excited about everything, but this is going to be special. And it's called Acts of Kindness. It's a big movement that's starting with this series. In fact, you'll see it as you exit today if you're in the room not listening online. But there's a table in the middle back with these Acts of Kindness cards. And I've got one, if you could see it, in my hand right here. And after this Sunday, that table will be moved from the auditorium to the lobby. And it will stay there at least through November. And here's why. I want to start a movement in this church that we would be the most generous people on the face of the earth. That he would look at you, God, and he would look at me and say, you know what? Whatever I bless them with, I can bless them with more because they'll use it to bless somebody else. That's what I want for us. And so these cards on the front, you can't see it from now, but you'll see it afterwards. It says this, something extra to show you God loves you. And on the back, it's got information about our church service. That's it, business card size. And so I'm hoping and I'm praying that after you leave today and every single week during this series, that you would grab fistfuls of these. We designed them in-house like we normally do, and I can order like 1,000 for like 20-something bucks. It's just incredible, the deal we've been able to get. And so I'm hoping that you'll take many of these. If you take them all, we'll put more out. But this is your chance, hear this, this is your chance to connect a good deed with the good news. And that connection is vital. Because God cares about hungry bellies being full with food. But can I tell you today, he cares more about a soul going to heaven and not hell. And so what we want to do is we want to connect a good deed with the good news. The good deed a lot of time will open up the door to the good news. And so we're going to put ideas on our website that you can go to Starbucks before work or school and you're in the drive-thru. And instead of buying your coffee, you buy yours, like do that first, and then you buy the person behind you, their coffee. But not just that, not just a random act of kindness. No, it's on purpose. It's intentional. You tell the person at the cash register that, hey, not only am I buying theirs, but would you give them this card too and let them know that I love them and Jesus loves them? That you'd be raking the leaves in your front yard and you would ask your neighbor, because it's not all tied to money. You'd say, you know what, I'm raking the leaves in my yard and I can do your yard as well. Oh, are you serious? Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do them. By the way, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. That all throughout this month, we would invade our city and we would connect the good deed with the good news. Anybody excited about some opportunities that we have? Now, if you go to a restaurant, so in fact, you can start this today. If you go to a restaurant, this is not your tip. Like I'm being very serious about that. That would hurt what we're trying to do. Well, they need Jesus. Yeah, but give them a good tip first. And so this is not your tip. If you're going to tip bad or not at all, do not leave this. In fact, you have permission to throw these away. They were cheap. Like, don't use them that way. But we want to connect the good deed with the good news, and we're excited about the opportunity as we go into our city and we become the most generous people that we know. It's what God has called us to. Another thing that's coming up that we're thrilled about is a special Christmas offering. And if you're new around here, you need to know this about our church. One of the changes that I've made, and I know I've made several, but one of the changes I made is that only a couple of times a year we're taking up special offerings. And I think that's pretty cool, because that's pretty unheard of. I'm not coming to you every week or every month. Hey, we've got this need. I'm not putting somebody up with some slick presentation and some sad video to make you cry. I'm not doing any of that. I'm simply a couple of times a year, and this will only be our second one, and it's in December, Sunday, December 16th, our second one in 1 year, this period of time. And so I'm just asking today, and I'm going to tell you what we're looking to do, but I'm just asking even today to begin to ask God, God, what would you have me do? And if God says, sit this one out, you better sit this one out. Like, obey God, listen to God, and do what he says. So here's some lanes that we're looking to give towards, because we're not coming on Sunday, December the 16th, to give to a church. We're coming to give through a church. So here's some lanes that we're focusing in on, and we'll move at the speed of your generosity. So if this doesn't all come in, then we'll just do a few of them. But our goal is going to be $7,000 on Sunday, December the 16th. And here's some of the things that we're really, really pumped about. Number one is we want to help fund our benevolence ministry here at the church. You may not know this, some do, but we help people, Christ Covenant members that are in financial crisis. Now, we can't help everybody, of course, and we can't always do the full bill, but we sit down with people, we counsel people, we pray with people, we seek God on this, and we financially help people, members in our church. And we love to continue to do that. We did that before I got here, and we've continued to do that since I've gotten here. And so that's the first lane. The second lane, and I think you'll really get pumped about this, but number two is we want to help end human trafficking. We do. Yeah, come on, somebody. Now, sex trafficking, which you've definitely heard of, that's a part of human trafficking. Sadly, human trafficking, they focus in on children and women mostly. Not completely, but mostly. And a lot of people don't know this, but you need to know it today. Today, 2018, in this year that we live in, there are millions of slaves in the world. It's not on the news. I don't care which, Fox or CNN, it doesn't matter. It's not on the news, but it's a fact. We have more slaves in 2018 than ever before in human history. And that should hurt your heart, because it hurts God's heart. And so often, only 1% are ever rescued. We got to end it. It needs to end on our watch, on our dime. And so we want to invest. We want to help fund an amazing organization. You should look them up later, but they're called A21.org. They're a global organization that helps rescue, rehabilitate, and they also bring awareness. They do marches, they do projects, it's incredible. They're all throughout the world, they're global. The letter A, the number 21.org. But also, out of all the countries they're in 14 countries, one of them is ours. Did you know that whenever the Super Bowl comes to a city, human trafficking ramps up? Won't be on the news, won't be on your news feed on social media, but it's a fact, and it needs to end in Jesus' name. That's the second lane we're excited about. Number three, we want to send another mailer to thousands of homes for our special Easter service. We're excited about that. And then number four, we want to accelerate the vision that we share here at Christ Covenant and create margin. Next week, we've got a Propel Women's Conference. We've got lots of ladies that are signed up for that. I think there's maybe still time. It's this upcoming Saturday. My wife's going to go as well, and we're excited about our ladies getting away to connect in to God. Another thing that we're thrilled about is a new online giving platform that we're going to launch on Sunday, December the 2nd. In fact, if you've given anything, it could be a penny, but if you gave a penny online this calendar year, we actually sent you, our staff, an email last week to let you know about it first. Here's what this is going to allow us to do. We launch it in a month. It's a new online giving platform, but it's going to allow us to more effectively take in the funds that are given online and to be better managers of that moving forward. Here's what you need to know about our church. Since I've been here, on an average Sunday, 50% that's given is given online. Before I got here, it was basically nothing. But it's already moved in that direction, that about half of what comes in on a Sunday. There's people that sit in service. They don't put anything in the offering bowl or plate or whatever you want to call it, but they'll give online. So we want to make it even easier, and we want to be on a unified platform, and all of this is going to launch on Sunday, December the 2nd. I'm excited about this, but allow even more of your gift to reach the church due to lower processing fees. There's an added option there for covering transaction fees. It's going to be a really great thing. And plus, this new platform we're moving to, it was actually designed for churches. Right now, we're using PayPal, and that's great. Nothing wrong with it. But this is even better. It's designed for churches, and it's scalable as we continue to grow. You can give on your phone, a tablet, laptop, desktop. It won't matter. It'll all be safe, easy, and secure. Another thing we're excited about, a few more, is our Christmas service. I know this is going to blow your mind, but did you know we are less than 2 months away from Christmas? Help us, Jesus. Like already. You noticed in department stores the day after Halloween, November 1st, they already had Christmas stuff up. It's just the culture that we live in. And so we're praying about it. We're planning our service. And I got to tell you, it's going to be on Sunday, December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas. And it will be, you can like mark this down, it will be the most creative, powerful service of the year. It will, as we celebrate our God coming, Emmanuel, with us to this earth. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a family service. Woo! It's going to be a family service. 4 years and older will be in the service with mom, dad, guardian, whoever they come with. We'll have children's classes for 3 years and under. We've got special things before service and after service and in service. It's going to be incredible. You'll hear more about that in the days to come. Another thing that we're excited about is 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, how can you be excited about fasting? But I got to tell you, I look forward to this time of year every single year. That we're going to start out 2019, because this will happen in January. We feast for Christmas and Thanksgiving. You can still wear your stretchy pants. It's going to be okay. But afterwards, in January, we're going to pray and seek God for 21 days, and we're going to fast. I've already got things that I'm targeting that I'm going to be fasting about. I've had people come to me already knowing that it's coming. This will be our second time that we do this since I've been here, because it's the second January that would have been here. And we're going to pray and fast, and we're going to see God do miracles. So we hope you'll plug into that. And lastly, before I pray and give you my many, many message, in February, we'll do another relationship outreach series. A series where we scream to our community from the hilltops, this is a place where you can come in, bring your family, and we're going to teach you relevant messages from the Bible. Things that you can literally take of what God said thousands of years ago and apply them to your life. We'll do special things, again, creative on this platform. We'll do giveaways, all that kind of stuff. And it's a way that we can reach out and allow you to reach out to your friends and family. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped for the days ahead. I want you to bow your heads with me. Let's kind of reset here, and then I want to share this message with you. It's not a lengthy message, but a short one that I think is going to be impactful. Lord, we love you so much. We got a lot to celebrate. And God, that's why we got the cupcakes after service. That's why we got the pom-poms, why we got the photo, all these things, because we want to celebrate. And we want to give you grace, or give you a thanks for your grace upon us. We want to give you glory for moving in our church and in this city, because this city needs to know you and your love. And so we just pray, God, that you would help us these next few months and these next several years and beyond to always be a lighthouse, a place where people see the light shining and they come to this building and they interact with our people and they realize that the light is not us, the light's in us. It's you, Jesus. So may you use this church and the many churches here in Houston to impact this city for your glory. May you give us your grace and your mercy to fulfill and accomplish everything you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you got a copy of God's word with you, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. If you don't have a copy of God's word, we'll have a giant Bible on the screen if you're here listening live in this room. But we're going to read verses 10 through 16, and then I'm just going to share my heart. I hope that's okay today. I'll give you a lot of announcements. We celebrated. We did all that kind of stuff. And again, we got cupcakes afterwards, and we hope you hang out for a bit today. But I want you to know, I've got something heavy on my heart. that I need to share with you. And it's going to come from Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 10. I'm going to read this right now. If you're still turning there, keep going. Don't give up. But I'm going to start. Here's what God would say to us. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians.' It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Today's title of this mini message to share in my heart is this: stand firm. Stand firm. It's what God's called you to. It's what he's called me to. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, and we see it in Exodus chapter 14. God's calling to us to stand firm. I want to quickly, and I'm going to hit everything quickly, but I want to quickly recap the story that we jumped into the middle of. Because I know there's people in this room, there's people listening online that you did not grow up in church and you don't know this story. And so I want to catch you up light speed very, very quickly here today. But you need to know that Moses, the central character in the Israelites, God's people, they had been through some stuff. Some stuff. In fact, Moses was born into slavery. He was born into slavery at perilous times. His family, they executed his rescue. They put him in a basket and they floated him down a river. Parents, can you imagine doing that with your child? But they did that because Pharaoh was killing all of the boys, the little baby boys. So they floated Moses down the river. He was found by a queen of Egypt. And then subsequently, he was raised up in the palace. His life changed pretty quickly as God helped him get rescued. Story's just beginning there. As Moses grows up in the palace, he sees God's people, the Israelites, how badly, how poorly they're being handled. They're being abused, beaten. They're slaves. And so Moses sees an Egyptian abusing an Israelite, and Moses intervenes. Right heart, but not right action. So Moses, he intervenes, and he actually kills the Egyptian. Not something you should do. And so because of that, Moses has to run away. I'm skimming through like years and years, just to let you know. But Moses has to run away. Think Harrison Ford and The Fugitive, okay? He runs away. He meets this great girl on the hills of Midian. He gets married. He becomes a shepherd. He has two kids. He settles down. So what he does. And God comes in and speaks to Moses through a burning bush. Like he wasn't burning bush, okay? And wrong crowd anyways. You'll get it on the car ride home. But like God spoke to him. I told you we like to have fun. God spoke to him through a burning bush. The bush was on fire but was not consumed, and God spoke out of it. Pretty crazy. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh, who called himself God, to go to him and say, "Let my people go." That's the part of the story, you know. Let my people go. Moses refuses at first. He eventually gives in. He goes and he says, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "No. I got 2 million slaves, free labor. Why would I give up on that?" Well, then you fast forward a little bit and there's 10 plagues, 10 opportunities for Pharaoh to change his mind. Plagues that God brought in. Wrap your theology around that. That God brought in to get his attention, to help his hard heart become softened. By the end of the 10th plague, Pharaoh's like, "You can go." And almost overnight, somewhere around 2 million Israelite slaves, they leave and they start to head to their promised land. And that's where we pick up in the story. But here's a problem. On their way to accomplish God's vision for their life, hear me, on the way to go to God's destiny for them to accomplish all of the great things, there is an obstacle in front of them. A big one. It's called the Red Sea. We just read about it. And to make matters worse, There's not just an obstacle in front of God's people. Pharaoh changes his mind. He thinks to himself, why did I just let 2 million slaves go free? Like, why did I just do that? And so Pharaoh sends his army to recapture them. So you got God's people. You can see the correlations here in a moment. God's people headed to the promised land, but there's an obstacle in front, and to make matters worse, there's enemies coming in behind. Have you ever been in a situation like that before? I know I have, many different times. Well, God, you called me to go from here to there, but why is there an obstacle in front? And to make matters worse, why are there enemies coming in behind? Why are we in that place? And when that happens, a lot of us, myself included, we do what the Israelites did, and we complain. Do you remember what we just read moments ago? What are God's people? Like, these are God's people. Like, God's people. Like, what do? They find someone to blame. Who do they go to? Moses. They go to Moses and they say, Moses, it's your fault. It's your fault. We would have been better staying in Egypt. We told you this would happen. It's your fault. And I want you to think about with me today the ridiculousness of their statement. Okay? Heading towards God's vision, obstacle in front, enemies behind. They blame Moses. It's your fault. We would have been better staying in Egypt. Let me remind you today what happened in Egypt with the Israelites. They were enslaved, like I told you. They were beaten. They were abused. They were raped. They were starving. Did you know that? Their children were sacrificed to false gods. So think about God's people on their way to the promised land, God's vision for their life. There's the obstacle in front. There's enemies behind. And they want to go back to that. How could they think that way? And I got to be honest with you. I can think that way sometimes. Because when we face obstacles, it's easy to glorify the past. In fact, I'd write this down. It's got two things. Number one, if you're taking notes, jot this down. God's called us to honor the past, but we've got to be committed to the future. Would you let that sink in? When we're heading towards what God wants for us and we have an obstacle in front and enemies behind, it's easy to glorify the past. Well, it was just so great back then. No, it wasn't. Well, we were just so comfortable. Yeah, you were comfortable in shackles. You were comfortable with toxic. And it's so easy when we face opposition to glorify the past, to make it seem better than it really was. And I'm not pointing fingers at God's people because I have been there too. I want you to know today that I will always honor the past here at Christ Covenant. I honor Pastor Dennis, the pastor before me. I honor the pastors before him. I haven't met all of them yet, but I honor them, their sacrifice, their heart. Like, the church would not still be here if not for their faithfulness and them believing God. We will honor them. But at the same time, as we honor them, we're not going to live in the past. Like, we honor the past, but we don't make the past an idol. It's what God's called us to. So the first lesson, just sharing my heart as we're moving forward to what God has for us, we will honor the past, but we have to stay committed to the future. God wants to do a new thing. Well, Pastor Ryder, I liked it when everybody knew each other's name. Well, that's like Cheers. That's not church, right? Great show, yeah, I know. We'll serve beer next week. Well, now somebody's mad. Oh my goodness, it was a joke. Can you cut that out, Scott, from the recording? But like, we're honoring their past, but we gotta stay committed to future. Well, Pastor Ryan, of course I want the church to survive and thrive, but I don't want anything to change. Can I have both? No, you can't. Growing things change. Ask your kids. They're growing and they're changing. Thank God I look different than I did when I was 10. Like, thank God that I have a little bit more wisdom than I did then. Growing things change. Hear my heart. What we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it won't work today. We honor the past, but we can't make the past aisle. Number two, and I'm just going to share my heart and I'm done. We do our part, but trust God to do his part. It's the second lesson that we learn here. We didn't read this part of the story just for time's sake, But I just want to recap it, very, very quickly. But after what we just read, you'll see that God does part the Red Sea, supernatural miracle. The Israelites walk through on dry ground. And not just that, but as soon as they make it past the Red Sea, the Egyptian army coming after them, the waves crash on them and kill them all. So not only does God take care of the obstacle, he takes care of the enemies. God's people, the Israelites, they didn't do anything but trust God. And God came through. So as we move forward, everything that God has for us, we got to do our part, but we trust God to do his part. God wants to write a miracle through us. And that's where we're at today. I got to tell you, we've seen some good things these last 11 and a half months, and I highlighted some of them. We've seen some good things, but we got a long ways to go. We do. To tell you a little bit about my family, and I know we're a few minutes past our normal time, but please hang with me because I got to share this. But my family and I, it's not been an easy journey for us, and so I just want to bring you in behind the curtain, okay? Before we came here to Houston, we were part of a church called Life Fellowship in North Dallas. Frisco, McKinney, Allen, Plano, kind of that corridor where they all intersect. I was there for 7.5 years, and Life Fellowship, the beginnings look a lot like our beginnings here at Christ Covenant. And the reason why I say that is this. Life Fellowship and also Christ Covenant, we are what's called a church revitalization. Now, most people don't know that term, and that's okay, so I'll explain it. But what it simply was there and what it is here is that a church that's in need of being revitalized, like brought back to life. So at Life Fellowship in North Dallas, my family and I were there for 7.5 years, and I was even there before we got married, so we've been married 6 years. And it was tough. Like, I'm just sharing my heart, so please hear me. It was tough. There was a service, and I talk about it in Grow Track, but there was a service at Life Fellowship where we had 7 people in attendance. And I was one of those 7. Like, I was required to be there. I wasn't getting paid at the time. I was volunteering. I wasn't the senior pastor there. I was on the pastoral staff, but 7 people in attendance. Our church Life Fellowship, we had $1,200 in the bank. We had carpet held together by duct tape. We had people leaving the church left and right. And not just leaving, but leaving badly. What do you mean by that? I mean this. We had people leaving, and I was in my 20s then. I just turned 32 in October. But we had people that were leaving and then gossiping about the staff. We had people that called themselves Christians that were saying that they wanted the church to crumble. We had people misinterpret our motives. They're trying to find bad. I mean, it was just, can I just be honest with you? It was very challenging. It did not look pretty. But I just felt like God had called me to stand firm. We had staff members that left because they couldn't handle it. It was not glamorous or sexy. It wasn't. It was ugly, but God had called us to it. We want to do our part and trust him to do his part. And I got to tell you, God came through. It took us a few years to turn that ship around, and it eventually did, and God did a miracle. You can fast forward years later, and now it's been well over 8 years since I started at the church, and the church is mushroomed to well over 1,000 people every single weekend. 3 services, brand new building, state of the art. In fact, I just got off the phone with a senior pastor, good friend of mine, Pastor Chris Lindberg. I hope you'll get to meet him one day and vice versa. But they're actually having to expand on the new building. They're already out of room. Like, we can keep adding services, but this ain't gonna last long. And it's not just numbers. God is doing notable miracles there. Like, notable. No doctor, no scientist could explain it away. Like, it is a miracle what God is doing. Families are coming back together. Marriages are being healed. Wayward, prodigal sons and daughters are coming back home. I got to tell you, they're changing the world. They're planting churches all over the world. They planted 2 churches in Israel. I mean, God is doing something miraculous because there was a group of people who did their part and trust God to do his part. So fast forward to us being at Christ Covenant, my family and I. I want to tell you this last year, I hope I can be honest with you. But this last year has been challenging. It's been tough. It's been tough. Almost a year ago, I packed up our son and my pregnant wife. We moved from the city I was born and raised in. I mean, the church was thriving. It wasn't the bad times, it was the good times. We packed all of that up and we moved here to Houston where we knew zero people. Not because it was glamorous or sexy, because God has called us here. My wife, she had our baby girl the third Sunday we were here in town. We moved from our first home, so many friends. And this last year, a church revitalization, think about it. It is hard to bring something back to life. It is. It's hard for me, it's hard for you to see God do a miracle. Because I gotta tell you, hear my heart, if God doesn't do a miracle, it won't happen. There's a Red Sea in front of us. And there's enemies behind us. And so here's how I'm going to end today before I pray. We've got to make a decision, all of us. What are we going to do? Just being honest. We've got to make a decision. Are we going to go back because the past was so great and try to relive that over and over again? Are we going to go off to another church or another thing? Because there's great churches in Houston. Or are we going to dig our heels in and serve and give and be faithful? Amen. The Pastor Ryan, you count on me. I'm going to be there on Sunday. You count on me. I'm going to give. You count on me. I'm going to serve. Like, what are we going to do? Because I can't do it alone. Right. Is it okay to be this honest with you? I don't know. It's kind of hard to see your reaction right now. I didn't move here from Dallas to shut the doors of the church.
Right.
I moved here to open them up wider. I can't do it without you. I didn't leave because it was hard in Dallas. It was a lot easier there than it is right now. I left because God had called me to come. And so we've got to decide, what are we going to do? And so my hope and my prayer for Vision Sunday 2018, what I want to leave you with is that you would make a decision. Are you going to plant your roots here? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to give? Are you going to serve? Are you going to believe? Or are you going to go somewhere else? We say this to my family all the time. God's not called us to do the easy thing. He's called us to do the right thing. And I want to build something special with you. I do. I love you. I believe in you. And I'm 100% acknowledging that it's all about God.
Amen.
If you've missed that, then you've missed my whole message. But God does call us to play a part in this. He does. If not, he would send Christian robots everywhere to witness and spread the gospel. God has chosen the church to be a vehicle that he uses to change the world.
Yeah.
And I want to be used to change the world for God's glory. But I can't do it alone. I hope that you'll do it with me. But it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take faith. It's going to take belief. It's going to take stepping out of your comfort zone. It's going to take giving and serving and being generous. It's going to take all of those things. But I'm just saying before God and before you today, and it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to stand firm, God.
Amen.
I'm going to stand firm, and I hope you will too. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we love you so much. I know we're past our normal time. I appreciate their grace, God. Had a lot to share. Instead of looking at a watch or a clock, I just pray, God, these next couple of minutes, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts. I've done the best job I know how, but God, I know that I play such a small role. You do everything. You're the one. You're the only one that saves. You're the only one that heals. You're the only one that brings growth and multiplication and addition. I know that. But God, you want to partner with us, and it's humbling. So the best I can as a senior pastor of this church, I'm trying to stand firm. It's not easy. There's obstacles and there's enemies. It's not easy. But God, I can't go back. It's too much, I believe, that you have in front of us. So I pray that you help me, that you'd help this church body, help us to stand firm. God, if we just kind of been here and there, out and about, and really not planted in, I pray, God, that we make a decision. We're going to be planted in God's house. If we're not serving, I pray, God, that we'd step into the game and use the talents that you've given us. I can't do it alone, God, and I don't want to do it alone. You changed the world with 12, and really 11. You can change the world with us. You're just looking for people that will do their part, but trust you to do your part. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I could do every single Sunday. No one looking but me, please. Just honoring this moment. But if there's anyone here today that you look at your life and you're far from God, I want to give you a chance to get close to him. Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the only way. We believe that because God's word says it. And so if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this relationship is not religion. If you don't have a relationship with him, I want to give you a chance to start that relationship, or for some of you, to start it again. Jesus loves you so much that he came to this earth, that's Christmas. He died on the cross, that's Good Friday. And he rose from the dead, that's Easter. And he did all of it with you on his heart. He paid the sacrifice. He's offering that gift of salvation, but you got to receive it. And so if there's anybody here in this room, if you're listening online, of course I can't hear you, but if there's anybody in this room, you're far from God, but you want to get things right. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand. We're not going to usher you off to another room. Right where you're seated, it'd be the honor of my life to lead you in a prayer of commitment, of surrender to him. So no one looking but me, but if that's you, anybody, you're far from God, but you want to get things right. Can you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God, you're so good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's awesome. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? God, you're so good. Eyes still closed. I'm going to ask the several that raised their hand a moment ago and all the Christ followers as support. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. It's not a magical prayer. There's not pixie dust that's going to float down from heaven. Nothing like that. But Romans 10 verse 9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's all about surrender. So I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer out loud, but you won't say it alone because all the Christ followers are going to repeat it as well because we're family. You are not alone in this. So those that raise their hand and all the Christ followers, repeat this after me, and more than that, mean it with all your heart. Say this: Dear Jesus, I thank you.
I thank you
for coming to this earth.
For coming to this earth.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
And raising from the dead.
And raising from the dead.
I believe in you.
In you.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now
to forgive me.
To forgive me.
Of every sin.
Of every sin.
Of every mistake.
Of every mistake.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I dedicate. My life to you.
My life to you.
It's not mine.
It's not mine.
It's yours.
It's yours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For saving me.
For saving me.
For setting me free.
For setting me free.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can you clap your hands and get a little bit excited? Would you please stand to your feet with me if you're able to? I know we went a little bit longer than normal, so I appreciate you hanging with me. Just had a lot to share on Vision Sunday. If you gave your life to the Lord for the first time, maybe first time in a long time, just a recommitment, fresh commitment, what I hold in my hand, which you can see on the screen if you're here in this room, is a Start Bible Kit. They're free. They're in the back behind the communion elements. We'd love for you to pick one of these up. There's a letter in there. There's also a connection card. I want you to know that the decision you just made, you're at the starting line and not the finish line. You're beginning a journey with God, and this will show you how to start that new journey. As I've told you a couple of times, as you exit, grab some acts of kindness cards. And not just that, we got celebration cupcakes for everybody. Even if you got to take one on the road, I want you to grab 2, 3. We got a whole bunch. Please hang out for a bit and celebrate with us. Take a photo at our photo wall and share it on social media. Let's celebrate God's goodness. To Him alone be the glory. Amen. 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 You are dismissed. God bless you.